You're listening to Between the Stripes LOI podcast, powered by Diaga.ie and proudly sponsored by Flomax. Be sure to check out our brand new website, BetweenTheStripes.ie, while you can find us on Twitter at Between Stripes or on Facebook by searching Between the Stripes. Now, here are your hosts, Kieran Burke and Jonathan Breyer.
Hello everyone, and you're all very welcome to Series 2, Episode 7 of Between the Stripes LOI podcast. It's Kieran Burke, it's Jonathan Breyer, and it's Ciara Lennon in studio this week. Ciara, hello.
Hello.
So, Dundalk this season, Ciara, have you managed to catch many of the games?
Yeah, I've been to a few, but it's hard when you're in Scotland to be able to get home.
Yeah, have you taken in many of the Scottish League games?
I've been to a few Stirling Albion games.
Standard-wise up against the League of Ireland?
Yeah, they're nearly as good as Dundalk.
Dundalk, excellent. And a huge game for Dundalk against Rovers on Friday. Will you be present?
Yes, of course.
Yeah, and how do you think that one will go?
Well, we have to be hopeful. So hopefully it'll go in our favour.
And I know you're a big fan of Gary Shaw. Are you hoping to see him line out for...
No. No, definitely not.
Right, away you go now. John, hello.
Well, good evening, Kieran. How are you?
I'm great, John. Yourself?
Yeah, very good. Very good, indeed.
Great to have a new Dundalk guest in the studio this week.
Indeed. Yeah, so, well, Dundalk, they're still on a flying start. You know, they're not conceding any goals, are they? I mean, that's some defensive.
Incredible record, really, isn't it?
It is, right.
It's Series 2 now, haven't conceded a goal yet. Was hoping to get to take in their game Monday against St. Pat's. And had planned to go to Tala then, so I had two games planned for Monday night, and both of them called off with rain, but she got a shopping trip out of it, so...
Yeah, that's pretty unlucky, Kieran, I have to say. But look, yeah, we talked about Dundalk, yeah, Rovers this weekend, so that'll give us a good idea just if Rovers are...
The real deal, as I said.
But for me, my match of the weekend, and I can't wait, Waterford against Cork.
Oh, I think that's the game probably, if the TV... people had their choice now, they probably would have gone for that one over Rovers and Dundalk, because that last game in Tala was a damn squid, in all honesty. Waterford have shocked everyone. If they could win this one, it would really throw them down a marker as title contenders.
Absolutely, yeah. And
you'd have to give them every chance too, John.
I think so, yeah. I mean, they've started the season so well and they've got such good playmakers. We've talked about their options off the bench as well. They just seem to be all-round decent team, solid at the back. So who knows? Well, if they could win this...
Yeah.
Kieran, it could be on.
Yeah, definitely. Look, sure, we'll talk about all the fixtures later on, folks. And obviously, as always, we'll be running through the weekend's results, especially in the first division. There was some huge upsets. And on last week's show, John, I seem to remember you saying that Athlone could go the entire season without picking up a single point.
Yeah, I'm always right.
Very next game out.
Yeah.
1-1 draw against Finn Harps.
Yeah. Well, I think Finn Harps did everything but score a second. So, yeah, I think luck was
from
on
all
side.
Reports that long goal was an absolute worldie, and we certainly seen how that can work out. They took the lead against Longford, and that was a screamer from 30 yards. So
yeah, we've got Nigel Hegarty on the show this week, so at least we can ask him about that.
Yeah, so we may as well talk about our guest now. We'll have Nigel Hegarty on, Finn Harps fanatic, as John says there. We've pre-recorded the interview with him, so you'll hear an update on the Finn Harps stadium. Nigel had some interesting news on that one for us. I know it's something we talk about every time we have a Harps guest on the show, but he had some very, very interesting things to say on that.
And he was very excited about the plans.
Yeah, most certainly. So you'll hear that, folks. We had a little bit of a debate there on the O'Connor brothers, obviously in the news recently, but Michael O'Connor certainly has been putting in the performances on the field for Finn Harps. So we spoke to him about that and loads of other interesting Finn Harps discussion. So make sure you stay with us for that one. And we have the legendary St. Pat's defender and current assistant manager at the Inchicore club, Ger O'Brien.
Yeah, it'd be interesting to talk to Ger and ask him maybe why they're struggling a little bit for goals.
Yeah, a little bit inconsistent. But look, as we said, we'll run through all that in a few minutes' time. But let's start, John, with the results from the weekend, and we'll start in the Premier Division.
Yeah, so first up, Friday night's match, Derry against St. Pat's. And this one, 2-1 to Derry, but looking at the entire fixture, it could have gone either way.
Still scratching my head, John, as to how Pats came away with not just without a point, but in my opinion, they deserve to win the game. I know we'll speak about that controversial disallowed goal in a moment, but the chances they missed, and especially in the dying seconds there, I know Doherty was been hailed for his performance, but I felt a lot of the finishing from Pats was quite poor. A lot of the shots were straight at Doherty when it was easier to score. We've seen the crossbar hit as well when the goal was gaping. I just feel Pats really let one go there, and they're already 8 points adrift from Waterford in third, and the next few games for Pats, I know they have Bray this weekend, you'd be chalking that down as a win, but then they have games against I think it's Cork and Dundalk, I'm right in saying, so a huge spell coming up for Pats this season. They're going to be so eager, John, to kick on from last season and throw their hat in for that European contention. But if they were not to get the results over the next few weeks, they could find themselves back down where they were last year, and that would be hugely disappointing for St. Pat's fans.
Yeah, well, funny you should say about Doherty, because he had a great game, but he blotted his copybook at the end. He spilt a shot, and it led in Owen Garvan, and that was the difference between the two teams on the night.
Yeah, I know we spoke about Jer a couple of weeks on the show, and a couple of weeks ago, he's had a little bit of a mixed bag at the start of the season, especially with the ball at his feet, John. His kicking seems to be very poor this season. But look, in terms of Derry City, the Brandywell, that's three wins in a row now at their new stadium. It looks fantastic. And just on the playing surface, John, I was listening to Conan Byrne speak earlier on the Greatest League in the World podcast, and he commented that it was the best surface, grass or otherwise, that he's ever played on. And before I even heard him say that, when I was watching the game on the television, I thought to myself, that surface looks absolutely fantastic.
Yeah.
I know Oriel Park does get a lot of stick, but they've got the new surface in and it's much improved on the last one. But this Derry surface looks even better than that.
Yeah, it just looks a fantastic stadium all round, doesn't it, Kieran? Yeah. And Derry
just
turning it
just
into
on the
fortress.
Stadium, though, John, did you notice during the game the floodlighting? Did you think it was very dark on the television watching it?
I have to say, I didn't really notice it.
I thought that myself, and then I looked up online and I seen Derry fans saying there's actually an issue with the floodlighting. The pitch was realigned, but the floodlights haven't gone with it, and
okay.
The floodlights are 10 yards too far back, and the pitch does look very dark. So I'm just thinking, if Derry were to play European games, would that be an issue? Would a UEFA official come in there maybe and say, we're not happy with the lighting here?
I think we've had enough of lighting problems with the League of Ireland this season.
Yeah,
already, haven't
Galway,
we?
Yeah, the other night lights went out, but look, we'll speak about that later. But if you want to run us through this game, John, and the main talking points.
Yeah, well, you know, Pat's... You said they were a bit unlucky, but, you know, failures at the back. They failed to clear the lines and, you know, the man that scored both goals, superb on the night, McAneffy.
Our former guest.
Yeah, superb volley for the first goal, Kieran.
Oh, peach.
Yep, yep. Keegan had a shot saved by Doherty, who, like I said, was excellent until he spilt that shot late on. And the follow-up to that was inexplicably hit the post when it was so much easier to score.
Unbelievableness.
Yeah, yeah. Pats had a goal disallowed as well. Awful decision.
What was the ref thinking?
I still don't know why it was disallowed.
Disallowed for a high foot, John. Some people said that was offside, but definitely disallowed for a high foot. Considering his foot was no more than, you know, above ankle height, I really can't think how the referees come to that conclusion. Maybe he felt that he took the ball out of Gerard Doherty's hands, but Doherty hadn't even put a glove on it when the contact was made with the ball. So, inexplicable decision, and Pats can feel hard done by.
Yeah. Chances at both ends, Kieran. I mean, Ian Birmingham free kick went wide. Rory Patterson shot over when he had a good chance. Derry cleared off the line from a corner again. That was a bit unlucky for Pats, you know, on the day that could have been an equaliser. But it was at the other end where the next goal went in, and it was a stunner, wasn't it? McAniff again.
Brilliant goal, John. Real determination to get past the tackle on the edge of the box, and then he just opens up on the left foot. He knew what he was doing as well. He was slicing and cutting across the ball to direct it towards that top corner, and fantastic goal. And if he keeps up these performances for Derry, he could be the next big star to go across.
Yeah, and it was a lovely flowing move, actually. It just shows they can play some good football when they want to, Derry.
And that new surface should definitely aid them in doing that.
Definitely, definitely. Like we said, we talked about Doherty spilling that shot, letting in Garvan 2-1. Darren Cole cleared off the line at the end to stay 2-1, Kieran.
Yeah, and I know he's a player that Derry fans have been raving about since he'd come into the club, and that was a fantastic block. And I know the lads in Soccer Republic, they likened the celebrations to an Italian side, you know, with a kind of a Chiellini for Juventus, blocking down a shot in the last few minutes and celebrating it like a goal.
Yeah.
Fantastic to see. I know we've spoke about the new fortress Brandywell, but in fairness, two of the sides they did beat were Bray and Limerick. Pats have come away unlucky for this one. Do you think Derry can keep up this home form?
I think so. They're looking good at home, aren't they, Kieran? And you know, that it's always a long journey to the Brandywell, and you know, they're certainly doing a good job there.
Yeah, only 4 points off Shamrock Rovers in fourth. What's the goal here for Derry this season, John?
Well, we said it. The start was shaky enough, wasn't it? But they look to be, the home form's excellent since the move. You know, there's no reason they can't keep pushing on for a European place.
Yeah. Look, we'll have Rory Hale on the show next week, folks, the Derry star. So we'll speak to him about that and more in depth on what Derry can achieve this season. We'll move along to the next fixture, John.
Yeah, Bray took a battering at home to Cork. It's going to be a long season for the Seasiders there, isn't
it? Yeah, I think we predicted this one 4-0. No surprise to anyone, really. Although the first half was quite tight in this one.
Yeah, exactly. McNamee free. McLaughlin opened the scoring 1-0. Sadly, her effort was well saved by Dill. He's scoring some goals this season.
Oh, so. What a screamer. Unbelievable goal from Sadlier. And he's another one that if he keeps up these type of performances, I'm sure the scouts will be flocking to Turner's Cross.
Kieran, he ran the game in the first half. He really did.
Came a lot deeper than normal, John. It's almost like he knew he had the space out there, so he wanted to get on the ball and show what he can do. And he certainly done that. And Bray certainly shouldn't have been allowing him the space that he had in this one. And they've been punished for it.
We've talked about Cork's options up front, and one of the players that's going to score a lot of goals this season, I think, as well, Barry McNamee. He shot into the corner to make it 2. Lovely free kick from Sadlier, as we said before, to make it 3, and a great shot at the end to make it 4-0. He's 10 already this season, Kieran.
Crazy, John, and a couple of goals in the Munster Senior Cup as well. When I see the performances of Barry McNamee this season, John, it just makes it even more unexplainable to me why he was dropped for that big game at Oriel Park against Dundalk. It was such a defensive move for John Caulfield. He's been accused in recent years of being a slightly negative manager. I certainly think that was the wrong decision on the night. Maybe he was carrying a knock, but we certainly didn't hear anything to suggest that. You would just wonder, even though it's only one result and the only defeat Cork have had, if it's going to be costly at the end of the season.
Well, we don't know, do we? We'll just have to wait and see on that. But I mean, this could have been 5 or 6. McNamee should have scored with a header, and sadly had another effort saved. It was very one-sided, Kieran. I know you were saying that Bray had a bit. Jake Kelly had a couple of efforts, a couple of efforts well saved. But look, that was as good as it got for Bray.
Yeah, look, we debated it last week, John, but we'll touch on it again. Is it all over for Bray already?
Well, they're in a desperate situation, and their start reminds me a bit of Limerick a few seasons ago when they just had an awful start, and Pats maybe were the same the other season, and they got out of it. But
big difference between them two clubs, John. The finances. Even Pats wouldn't be awash with cash, but they were able to bring in experienced players in the mid-season break last year. Bray, I can't see how that would be possible.
No.
And we spoke about them bringing in players like Reece Gorman, who's barely touched the ball. Jake Kelly played the other night, had a couple of chances you mentioned. He's barely played up until now. So Bray looked like they just don't have the finances. They filled the squad with players that, you know, it's all they can afford to shop for, if you want to put it that way.
Call it squad players.
And I can't see a way out of it for them. This was a heavy defeat. Could have been heavier, as you said. And I think we're going to see plenty more scorelines like this throughout the year.
They do have a few good players there, Bray, but there'll be other clubs knocking at the shop
Well, maybe
window.
That's one way.
Fire sale.
Maybe that's what could happen in July. Maybe they'll sell the likes of Aaron Green and Gary McCabe and use that to fund new players coming in. But I think when the opposition sides in the League of Ireland look at that, they're going to say, well, Bray are going to be relegated. They're going to have to get rid of these players anyway in the first division. Mm-hmm. So we might as well wait till then and offer what we have. But yeah, for me, it's all over for Bray already, which is a shame because at the top, it's competitive, European, ultra competitive. The playoff place for relegation looks like it's going to be tight with Sligo, Limerick and Bowes have fallen down there in recent weeks. So Bray are the only ones cut adrift at the moment. I know it's only 6 points to Sligo, but the way they're playing at the moment, it just doesn't look possible.
Kieran, let me give you a couple of facts. They're not scoring a goal a game. They're scoring half a goal a game, if that's possible. 4 goals this season from 8 games, and they're leaking 3 goals a game.
Yeah.
Kieran, it's not good enough. The defence isn't good enough. The team's not good enough. I think they've had it already.
Yeah, and even a player I praised in the first couple of weeks on this show was Aaron Dillon, their goalkeeper, but he's made some howlers in recent weeks. Such a young player, you wonder if just the lack of confidence in front of them is starting to affect him.
It's a young coach, young players, naive defending, you know, that they've been caught out, long balls over the top time and time again. They just looked ill-equipped for a season in the Premier
League. And another woeful home attendance as well. I think the Cork fans actually outnumbered them quite heavily on the night, so it's not looking good on or off the field at Bray at the moment.
Come on, we'll move on, Kieran. Yeah. Look, Dundalk next, 3-0, and keeping that unbelievable clean sheet record against Bowes.
Yeah, I thought this might be the one where that clean sheet record would fall. And the fact that Gary Rogers had to go off after just a couple of minutes with quite a bad injury makes the result all the more impressive. But it was certainly the attacking players that caught the eye in this one, John. A real stylish performance from the Lily Whites.
Yeah, and Pat Hopin should have opened the scoring after a poor back pass early on, but it was a penalty where they did take the lead, and it was Pat Hoban who scored it.
Yeah, no doubt about that one. Clear stonewall penalty. Yep. Hoban steps up and adds to his tally for the season. It's been an impressive return to the League of Ireland for the Hoobinator, as they call him, in Oriel Park.
Good goal from Gannon to make it 2-0 as well, Kieran.
Yeah, it doesn't get on the score sheet too often, Sean Gannon, but a fine one here to double the lead. And I think at that stage it was curtains for Bowes. They haven't really been scoring too often this season, only 8 goals in 9 games, so very difficult to get back into a game when you're away from home and 2-0 down, John.
Bowes had the chances though, and they could have had a couple of penalties. The first one would have been very harsh, I'd say,
would have been very
Benson,
harsh, yeah.
But the second one, the player went down, I think it was Grant, wasn't it? He was fouled, he got back up and played on. If he'd have stayed down, I think it would have been a certain penalty.
Yeah, probably got caught out, but too honest. Be interesting to see whether Keith Long would have said that to him. Some managers, you know, they love to see honesty from their players. Others would like to see their players go down in that situation. But hard luck on Bowes there. Would have been interesting, but I still don't think they had the firepower to get back in it, John.
Yeah, they had the warning shot when Duffy forced a good save from the keeper, but he got the third late on thanks to it was a lovely turn and shot, Kieran. And 3-0 and another clean sheet.
Yeah, Duffy's a man that's really upped his performances in recent weeks. And he had a fine run earlier on in the game where he took it from the edge of his own box all the way to the edge of the Bowes box, cut inside, but unfortunately the shot was just a little bit weak. But he certainly picked up his form from towards the end of last season, where obviously he missed that crucial kick in the FAI Cup final, and it's always going to be hard to bounce back from that, but he's done it well. And this Dundalk team really seem to be going up through the gears.
They do indeed. 8 games, 15 goals, none conceded.
Yeah,
Championship form.
Championship form, certainly, but this Cork team, we know how dogged they are, and obviously the dark horses of Waterford are lurking just behind them. And we'll speak about the fixtures coming up the weekend, because Dundalk and Shamrock Rovers has the potential, along with that Waterford Cork game, to be the game of the weekend.
Yeah, it's going to be a cracking weekend, isn't it? We're going to preview them in a bit.
And we'll move along to the next fixtures, John.
Yep, so we've got Shamrock Rovers against Sligo. That finished 1-0 to Rovers. The merry-go-round in goals continues.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought it up, because it was going to be my first point on this one. Yep. Stephen Raleigh just can't seem to decide on a goalkeeper, John. Kevin Horgan's gone back in. Look, he kept a clean sheet, so I suppose that's good for confidence, but overall this was a damn, damn squid of a game.
It was, really. It wasn't a classic, is fair to say, Kieran. Adam Morgan had an early effort. That was deflected wide. There wasn't a right lot else in the first half. Graham Burke, Manu Smith, is on good form at the moment. He shot wide from distance. But the goal came from Daniel Kahn. A great celebration as well. It was from a pinpoint cross from Sean Kavanagh. He couldn't have teed it up better for him. 1-0 and the flips.
Yeah, Carr's the man that's come in for Gary Shaw, so I don't think Gary Shaw could do a celebration like that, so he probably deserves to be in the team, I know, but in all seriousness, he's been a good addition to the Rovers side. He's a really good link-up player, John, brings the midfielders into it, and I think that's one of the reasons we've seen Graham Burke start the season so impressively. He's able to get in beyond the striker and have that little bit of freedom, which is good to see. He's been criticised on Soccer Republic by some of the pundits. Dave Barry was one that said Carr wouldn't add much to this Rovers team. I'd strongly disagree with that. But Rovers do need to up their performances. As for Sligo, we've seen them put in a good performance against Dundalk. They didn't take their chances in that one. This wasn't a good performance, but to go to Tallaght and only lose by the odd goal. Where are Sligo at this moment in time, John?
They were a little toothless today. Mm. And, you know, Graham Burke could have had a second when he hit a free kick over. Sligo was limited to that Morgan chance, and Corley had a shot blocked. They weren't good, to be honest. And like I said, it wasn't a classic, Kieran.
Relying too heavily on Adam Morgan, John. Only 8 goals in 8 games. They're conceding nearly 2 a game, so that's not a good formula. Morgan's been the man chipping in with the majority of the goals, but hard to get into games like this. Didn't have a lot of chances or a lot of space to operate. So is it time for Sligo's midfielders to start chipping in with goals, as Shamrock Rovers midfielders are doing?
Yeah, and Ali Roy as well probably needs to get back in. But you're just seeing signs that they might struggle a little bit, Sligo.
7 points, 6 clear of Bray, 1 behind Limerick, 1 behind Bowes, 3 behind St. Pat's. So look, if they could get a run of form going,
We've said this about them being very, very negative away from home before, playing one up front. And
I just think their form over the last couple of years suggests they don't have it in them to get that run of form going, that they need to really kick on to the next level. I think it's going to be a long season for Sligo. We spoke about Bray not being able to bring in players in the mid-season break. Sligo probably do have the ability to do that, so that could be an interesting, I suppose, couple of weeks when it does come around, when you're looking at the likes of Sligo, Limerick and Bowes. Who can do the best business there, but I do think that's probably the position Sligo are going to find themselves in.
We'll move on, Kieran, and the final match in the Premier Division was Limerick at home to Waterford, and a 2-0 win for Waterford.
So. You said on last week's show this was the one Waterford would find very difficult. I didn't think so. I know the pitch is one a lot of people spoke about has been maybe a leveller between the sides. The surface down at the Marcus Field has been heavily criticised this year, but a very professional performance from Waterford is the way I put it, John, and a fine result.
They've got players that are really stepping up to the Premier League. We've talked about Vigoro, we've talked about Bastian Heary in big detail. Doofus we've talked about, Houlihan. They've some really good players there, Kieran. And, you know, it's all marshalled by Paul Keegan in midfield as well. So they've a really, really good squad, and They could threaten this season, and I think if they can do something against Cork at the weekend, then
what a statement that would be.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, you've mentioned those players there, the Houlihans, the Heerys, etc. Paul Keegan really has been one that's gone under the radar. I seen him make his debut last season for Waterford when he came in against Longford, and I thought he looked a bit slow, a bit sluggish. Didn't think he'd find this type of form, but as he's played week in, week out, he's grown in his fitness, grown in his confidence on the ball, and he's just a real commander and general in that midfield. Reminds you of a little bit of a Stephen Rice. Only I'd say he's even better on the ball than Stephen Rice.
But
so
that allows the likes of Bastian Heary to play their game.
Exactly,
so
John, you
always need somebody like that, and he's doing a great job, as we said. But anyway, look, Limerick started well, and Vigoro had to make a good save early on from a quick free kick. But after that, it was Bastian Heary. He won possession. Absolute slide rule pass here and fed that man Doofus, who was in flying form at the moment. No mistake there. 1-0 up. Limerick hit back and Vigoro again kept out a Jair Duggan effort. After that, really, it was a matter of how many Waterford were going to get. Houlihan headed over after good work by Bastian Heary, and late on Akinadi brought down, penalty, and Paul Keegan scored 2-0.
Yeah, good penalty by Keegan. He's taken plenty down the years and showed his calmness and composure there to slot it away. Akinadi, obviously, I'm sure he would have probably loved to take it, but winning the penalty should add a little bit of confidence to his game. And as I said on last week's show, he scored recently in the EA Sports Cup. So I'm sure we're going to see Akinadi start kicking into gear now in the next few weeks. And if he can do that, and the likes of Heary, who can keep their game at this level, wow, Waterford are going to be really exciting to watch.
They sure are. We'll move on to Division 1, Kieran. League leaders, UCD, went to Cove 1-2-0. Liam Scales with one of the goals there. UCD looking good this season.
Yeah, and as for Cove, not looking as strong as last season, that's for sure, John. Do you feel they're still in that promotion hunt?
Cove, well, it is early days. We've only got 5 matches, but you know, they've only 4 points from the 5 matches. A little bit disappointing.
Yeah, they've only 3 goals. So, as we've said, that lack of a real number 9 up there that a lot of the other sides have seems to be a big worry for Cove.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed, they're going to struggle a bit. Cabo, one of the surprise results, Kieran, we've almost written them off, but they beat Drogheda 3-2. Gareth McCaffrey with the 2 goals for Drogheda, who we talked about pre-season.
Had him on the show previously, yeah.
Yeah, good player. But Cabo, that man, Kieran Marty Waters, got one Stephen Ball, 2 goals, and that might get their season up and running.
Yeah, Marty Waters up and running. Struggled with injuries in pre-season. I think that contributed greatly to not only his slow start of the season, but obviously Cabin Teely's, because he's the main man there, make no mistake about it. This is a huge win for Cabin Teely. Very unexpected, given Drogheda the start to the season. And Cabin Teely go to Longford on Saturday, a ground where they won last season. They'll be looking to add to that. If they can do that, suddenly Cabin Teely, things are looking a lot brighter. They'd be up on 9 if they could win their next one, which is what Galway have at the moment. So it just shows that the madness of this first division, that just one or two wins can just totally change everything around for you.
As you said before, it's going to be a really exciting season. Yeah. This is the league to watch.
The league to watch, no doubt, yeah.
Wexford 0, Shells 1. Kept it down to 1 goal in Wexford. This was Aaron Malloy with the goal there for Shelburne. They seem to be doing all right, picking up some decent results. They move into third.
Yeah, and I'm sure Owen Heary would be delighted to see, you know, a 1-0 win coming, and it's not David O'Sullivan on the score sheet. So it shows the other Shelburne players are willing to chip in with the goals. Like we've just spoken about Sligo there, their players, midfield players, not chipping in, but Aaron Malloy getting the winner here for Shells. They've had a good start to the season. They find themselves in third on 10 points, 3 wins out of 5. So it's really good form. UCD are top, and they've had 4 wins from 5. So Shells are not that far away. On Wexford, defensively they've looked to improve slightly in recent weeks after that 8-1 hammering they took against Drogheda, but they look absolutely toothless up front. Only 2 goals in 5 games, even at Lone have more, they've scored 5. So major worries on Damien Locke's hands there.
Stalemate at Eamon DC Park, 0-0. This was the match you were at, Kieran, against Longford.
Yeah, fantastic performance from Longford, I have to say. I was a little bit worried going up to this one after the Classico. Longford obviously had that easy 5-1 win. I didn't feel it was the best preparation for Longford. And as I said on last week's show, I didn't think they played that well in that game, but maybe that was a case of being dragged down to Athlone's level. Longford had a little bit of a slow start. The fullbacks got exposed, as we've seen in many, many games this season. But they grew in confidence as the game went on, I have to say. It was probably one of Shane Elworthy's better games in the red and black for Longford. I was very disappointed with Galway, John. I was expecting a lot from the likes of Ryan Connolly and Danny Furlong. I know Furlong was only back from injury, so maybe you could put that down to that. He was very well marshalled on the night by Mick McDonald, who's been a sensation since he signed from Newbridge Town for Longford.
Yep.
Ryan Connolly, though, doesn't look the same player that left Longford in 2013.
Kieran, let's chat about Aidan Dervin. He's a young lad. He's come up from the youth academy for Longford, well, the under-19 team,
yeah.
And he's starting to make some headlines. We talked about him a little bit at the end of last season. He's got into the team against Athlone and man of the match against Galway.
Yeah, I think everyone in the ground was shocked by this young man's performance on Friday night. The performance against Athlone, he got a lot of praise for, but that was more of a, you know, sitting deep and getting stuck in and getting himself in amongst it and showing that he was physical enough, because he's the smallest player on the pitch every time he goes out, and he showed he was able to get stuck in against Athlone. But this was a performance about getting on the ball, passing range, short passes, long passes, dribbling by players, skill, control. It had everything, John. It was an absolutely unbelievable performance. And like I said, he was well able to get stuck into much, much bigger men and professional footballers. Galway, the only full-time team in the First Division. But fitness-wise, the Longford lads weren't lacking. And I think, from speaking to Neil Fenn after the game, the Longford lads, despite only drawing this one, they missed some huge chances in the second half. They really should have won it. But they've gained huge confidence from this result, and they feel that if Galway are being marked up as one of the best sides in this division, that they can be right up there too.
Excellent. Moving on to our final match, Kieran. And what a shock result. Athlone won, Finn Harps won. Stokes for Athlone. Michael O'Connor with equaliser. Disaster for Finn Harps.
Harps fans, at John Breyer on Twitter, direct your anger at this man here. He said on last week's show, Athlone, very, very real possibility they wouldn't pick up a single point this season. Very next game they go out and they get a draw against Harps. So at John Breyer, go on, get at him.
And who are we going to talk to now?
Yeah, we're going to speak to Finn Harps fanatic Nigel Hegarty, folks. So John, watch out. So as always, folks, we love to have fan interviews on the show, and we're joined this week by one of the most famous League of Ireland faces is, of course, Nigel Hegarty, the Finn Harps fanatic. Nigel, you're very welcome to Between the Stripes LOI podcast.
Thank you very much. I wouldn't go as far as famous. I'm not quite up there in the levels of Tom yet, but
maybe this appearance will bring you to that mighty level. So, Nigel, a shock result, it has to be said, at the weekend for Finn Harps. The first side to drop points against Athlone Town in the First Division, a 1-1 draw at the Lizzie Wollan venue. Talk us through it.
Yeah, it's not exactly the tag you want of giving Athlone their first points of the season. I suppose, look, it's one of those things that Athlone were going to pick up a point somewhere along the way. They weren't going to go the whole season without losing. And it's kind of unfortunate it was against Harps. It's one of those things. They said, like, you know, Harps hit the post, they hit the crossbar, the shot cleared off the line, and just done everything but score. I mean, they had an absolutely shocking second half. There's no two ways about it. That's beyond end all of it. Poor performance. The boys know it themselves. The management know it themselves. They pick themselves up and they move on. You know, a much better performance against Derry on Monday night. But at the same time, you know, the league is most important. Athlone had one shot. Screamer from 30 yards. You know, what can you do?
Well, I'm afraid I put the mockers on you, because I said it's quite possible that Athlone would go all season without getting a point. And then look what happened.
Yeah, well, look, we'll just blame you then.
Nigel, I know it's a topic we have every time you come on the show, but I have to ask you again, is there any update on Finn Harp's new stadium?
Funny you should ask. I drove past today on my way to work, and there was a digger working away outside the ground. A digger, and there was a lorry belonging to the contractor outside the ground today, and it was totally unexpected. I know there was about the first or second press conference of the season. I think it was the first one. John Campbell was there. He's the Harps secretary. He said there was an announcement imminent on the stadium progress. I know they've been working very, very hard behind the scenes. Paul McLoone has come in, who was the driving force behind a lot of work in Sligo Hospital and Donegal Tourism and all these different initiatives in the Northwest, and he came on board, and he is the driving factor behind the stadium, and there's been an awful lot of work in the background. I know that I have seen plans redrawn, I have seen artists' videos and stuff, and it's absolutely blown me away, but it's safe to say, and without a word of bias, we will have the best ground in the league once it's done. But as I said today, I drove past the stadium and there was a digger on site and there was a lorry on site belonging to the contractor, and I can only assume that means that we're very, very near to work getting back on track.
Wow, great. Best stadium in the league. I mean, any idea what type of capacity we're looking at there, Nigel?
We're looking at it. There is the one small drawback. We're waiting on a couple of little red tape things, but from the best of my knowledge, I think it's somewhere in the region of 5,000 that will have two seated stands and two terraces at either end.
And Nigel, I imagine when you see the new Brandywell Stadium in particular, you must be very envious and looking to get Finn Harps up to that level, because I think everyone knows the potential there for Finn Harps. Obviously, Donegal is such a huge catchment area, and we've seen great Harps teams in the past, and obviously it looks like there could be a good season for them this year too, with the promotion push. So you obviously want to try and get into a new stadium as quickly as possible.
Yeah, well, you say that, you know, envious of Derry, whatever you like. I don't be envious of Derry when I look at the plans for the new Harps stadium. It's one way about it.
And on the field, Nigel, this season, the O'Connor brothers, obviously a lot of controversy regarding themselves in recent weeks. Myself and John here have had a discussion on what went on there recently. What's the feeling amongst the fan base? Is all forgiven after Michael got the winner against Wexford recently? Or do supporters feel like they let the club down slightly?
Look, we've all been young and stupid. The lads themselves know what went on, they were given a slap of the wrist by the club. They were told, look, there's not really much you can say on it. It's two young fellas that made a mistake. They lift themselves, they move on. The club knows that, fans know that. There's, as I said, young and stupid, we've all done stupid things. I think that's the general feeling among the fans. I can't speak for every fan, but for me anyway, that's what it is. We've all been young and stupid, we've all done stupid things. Pick yourself up, move on, learn from it.
Yeah, line in the sand, forget about it and go move on. Yeah.
Yeah, just on the field, Nigel, obviously the bigger concern would be the lack of goals this season for Finn Harps. Everyone spoke about the Harps attacking trio, I suppose, this year. Obviously, throw Paddy McCourt into that too, has been the most heavy-handed, I suppose, in the first division. But we've only seen 6 goals so far in the 5 games. Is that a slight concern?
Yeah, it is. When you say 6 goals and 3 of those have been from Michael O'Connor, so you can't say what's the rest of them doing, where are they at, you know, but I suppose with an entirely new front line, it takes a while for them to gel. You know, we can't expect John O'Connor or John O'Flynn to come out and play 90 minutes every game and bang in 20 goals. He's not a young fella anymore. He's there for his experience. He's there for, you know, to be your super sub, if you like. You expect him to pitch in with, you know, 6 or 7 goals this year, be happy enough out of him. 2 O'Connors, yeah, you'd say you want the 2 of them to go on and hit 15 goals each. BJ Band is in behind them. Young Adam Duffy there has come out of the 17s straight into the first team this year. He's just 17 years of age. You know, there's plenty of talent there. I suppose it'll take time for them to gel. the lack of goals is definitely a worry, but at this stage you're going to got to have faith that it'll just turn around at some point. I said it all along, some team is going to get an absolute hammering from us this year, and I stand by that. Just remains to be seen who it will be.
Hopefully it's not Longford. No, I think one thing Ollie's got right is the defence. You know, they're looking pretty good at the back, aren't they? They only conceded 4 from the 5 games so far.
Yeah, well, look, we always, myself and a couple of lads were chatting before the season started about the squad, and we said, yeah, it's great. We have, you know, the likes of Paddy McCourt, Mark Timlin, these sort of lads in midfield. You have the two O'Connors, John O'Flynn, BJ Banda up front. And we said, you know, the worry is the lack of strength in defence. We had no idea what Sam Todd was going to be like. We had no idea if Keith Cowan was going to come back the same player after over a year out. You know, we lost 3 of the starting back 4 from last year, only keeping Kieran Call. Kieran Gallagher missed most of pre-season. Aidan Friel, you know, he came in, we said, he might click, he might not. He's done well at some clubs, maybe kind of failed a little bit at other clubs. So it was a worry at the start, but they seemed to have gelled really well. The, you know, Sam Todd especially, there's been a superb signing. You know, he's on loan from Derry, but I can't for the life of me figure out why Derry let him go. Because on Monday night's showing, for me, he was the best defender on the pitch.
And Nigel, just on the first division in general, have you been surprised by UCD's start to the season? They look in perilous form, really. 11 goals scored, only 4 conceded. Drogheda obviously had those big high scoring wins at the start of the season to fire themselves up there. Shelburne looked to be resurging this season with David O'Sullivan leading the line. And then I was at Galway Longford at the weekend, and I was actually very surprised with Galway. I thought they were very poor on the night. I know we've spoken to Shane Keegan, and he felt that his side's playing within themselves at the moment, and I definitely agree with those comments after watching them at the weekend. Longford slightly inconsistent, but that performance in Galway, they look to be to going in the right direction anyway, unlike last year. And obviously we're speaking to you about Harps now. I think Cabin Teely Cole, Wexford at loan, already starting to look a little bit cut adrift, but a few wins for them could turn that around quite quickly. So what's your view on the first division so far?
Yeah, well, it's early days yet. Mm. I suppose 5 games in, you can't really put a firm judgment on how things are, but with a short season of only 27 games, you kind of need to get that quick start off. And UCD, I wouldn't say they've surprised everyone. Colly O'Neill is a, you know, he's a shrewd operator there. You could never write off a UCD team. And keeping the likes of Maxi Coughlin there at centre half was a masterstroke by him when several clubs wanted him. You know, the, It's as I said, it's not been a surprise that they've started well, but maybe the
how impressive, you know, they've been in doing it, and their performances.
Look, they're picking apart teams. They're strong at the back. They're strong up front. It's what you expect from a UCD team, to be dogged, but they're kind of overrunning teams at the minute, and it's fair play to them. They're impressive, but whether they can maintain that over the entire season with such a young squad is what could hold them back. You know, I said before the start of the season that for me, Shelburne and Drogheda were going to be the two teams to watch. Shelburne especially there, you know, they signed the likes of Davey O'Sullivan from yourselves there, that, you know, he's proven first division goal scorer. They're always going to be tough to beat as well. You know, they have that, you know, they have
a bit of steel about them.
Of being able to, but they have the luck of being again in Dublin, where they can pick up players a bit easier. You know, rather than the country teams that struggle to attract the players, struggle with, you know, finding jobs for them or whatever you need to attract the player. Yeah. Shelburne traditionally have always been strong, and they will continue to be strong. They had a couple of barren years there, but they're on the rise again. They're out of debt. You know, the clean slate. Good luck to them for it.
Okay, then. Nigel, just before we...
It's anyone's game.
Before we let you go, Nigel, where are Harps going to finish then? You've seen them play 5 matches in the league. Bit of a mixed bag. You still confident on maybe playoff finish?
Well, I'm confident of a playoff. As I said, the team will gel. The team will click. We've been struggling with injuries on and off, and there was a bug going through the squad for the last 2 weeks as well. Several players missed a couple of games there, but I think they'll click, and they'll be a dangerous prospect once it does click properly. I fancy a playoff place at minimum. I wouldn't be surprised to see a league push yet.
Well, Nigel, hopefully we'll see you in those playoffs.
It all depends on the next 5 to 10 games.
Yeah, hopefully we'll see.
I hope not.
Well, yeah, well, obviously the title would be nice, but
not if history is anything to go by.
Yeah, could be a penalty shootout or two. Nigel, fantastic having you on. Best wishes with that news.
Brian can find out himself out of retirement.
Best wishes with the new stadium. We'd really love to see that picking up pace now over the coming months. But thanks for joining us, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Yeah, cheers, lads.
Cheers, Nigel.
Between the Stripes LOI podcast is proudly sponsored by Flomax. For all your compressed air, vacuum and industrial equipment needs, simply visit flomax.ie.
So, great to hear from Nigel Hegarty there, John. We'll move on now and speak about the First Division fixtures this weekend, and we'll start at Ferry Carrick Park, Wexford and Cove. But before we speak about the game, John, a lot of controversy regarding a political poster, is the way you could put it, that was displayed outside of Ferry, or inside the grounds of Ferry Carrick Park, making reference to the upcoming referendum. Wexford Youth released, or Wexford FC, I should say, apologies, released a statement on that saying that they would remove it from the ground. What was your thoughts on it?
Well, I don't think it's any place of football, to be honest, Kieran. And I know they've links with politicians, shall we say, there.
Yeah, let's put it that way.
Yeah, but look, it's no place, no matter what side of the fence you sit on with that. So, look, it shouldn't be there in the first place.
Yeah, on the game itself, John, Wexford Cove. Wexford, as we said, looking fairly weak up front this season. Cove, they haven't got a real target man to speak of, but they've still managed to better Wexford's very poor tally of 2 goals this season.
It's got nil-nil written all over it for me.
It has really... Cove, they've showed such great fight over the last couple of seasons to be able to really stick with the top sides. That, you know, you met Waterford last season, they stuck with Limerick for a long time in previous years, managed to get into the playoff places, of course. But this season, it's a much, much stronger First Division. The standard's a lot higher. I know they haven't been heavily beaten or anything like that. They've been putting in honest performances, and you always expect that from Stephen Henderson's sides. I know Paul Hunt's been having a great season down there, as he has since he left Longford. But it's just hard to see Cove getting themselves into that playoff mix this season. And I suppose this is the game where they're going to have to show that steel that they have in recent years.
Look, 10 games between them, 5 goals scored. I think that's where the problem is. Nil-nil draw for me, Kieran.
I'm going to back Hendo's side, Cove, to win this one.
Okay.
Just before we go any further with our predictions, folks, I have to say... we have a new sponsor on the show for the rest of the season. Huge thanks to St. Mel's Brewery, who are going to spice things up, folks. They have put on offer a lovely, big, juicy crate of St. Mel's beer between myself and John, prediction-wise going forward. So every week we're going to keep a tally of our predictions each weekend, and come the end of the season, whoever has come out on top prediction-wise will win the big, juicy, cold St. Mel's bottles.
Well, Kieran, you know me. I love my craft beer, and I have to say the St. Mel's stuff is lovely. So, a crate of the raisin and oatmeal stout or the brown ale for me, please.
Best of luck, myself.
When I win.
no, please. I'm going for a Cove win. You've gone for a nil-nil draw. That's perfect. Yeah.
Moving on. Chalk
that down, Kieran. Chalk that down.
Anyway, moving on. The top of the table clash is between Drogheda and UCD. This is going to be an interesting one. Second place first.
You're expecting a nil-nil between Wexford and Cove. We've surely got to expect goals in this one, which means we've just put the knockers on it. This is going to end nil-nil, folks.
Yeah, so this will be nil-nil indeed. And Wexford, Cove will be 6-5 or something like that.
Yeah, but 31 goals between these two sides this season. And more impressively, perhaps, only 11 conceded between the two. So looking strong up front, looking strong at the back. But of course, Drogheda had the luxury of playing Wexford and Athlone in their opening fixtures. Huge wins in those ones, an 8-1 and a 6-0. Whereas UCD have been more consistent throughout the season. 4 wins, 1 draw, only side in the division without a defeat. I've got to go with UCD for this one, John.
Yeah, Alan. We talked to Alan Corley. He wasn't very impressed with Drogheda so far, even despite their performances. Fabio. UCD, they're top. They're top for a reason. They're playing pretty well. But I think this will be a draw, Kieran.
Yeah, I think everyone is starting to chalk UCD now on as genuine title contenders. Would you roll in behind that, John?
It's early days, Kieran. 5 matches in, but, you know, there's no reason that they can't.
Well, they've certainly got the right formula there. They've got Maxi at the back there, a huge tower in centre half, a lot of interest. I think he was linked with Limerick in the off-season. I know there was even links with some of the top elite Premier Division clubs in recent years. And then the man, Georgie Kelly, Dundalk went hard after him, couldn't get him. He started knocking them in the last few weeks. So they've got the right blend there. It's a young side, but Colly O'Neill knows how to get the best out of them. They've been always up or around the top places in the first division in recent years. I think this is the year where they really push on, and I think they certainly have the potential to win it.
Yeah, okay. Harps against Galway, Kieran. Two sides that are in the top half. Well, Harps just slipped slightly down, but still on 8 points from five games. You weren't that impressed with Galway at the weekend. No. Where's this going?
Well, I'm sure Ollie Horgan gave them a right rollicking for that result against Athlone. I know we've spoken about the missed chances, the hittings of the crossbar, maybe a few controversial decisions thrown in, but the draw against that Athlone side, it really isn't good enough. They're the poorest side in the first division probably ever, I'd have to say. As for Galway, no, I wasn't impressed with them, John, but in saying that, they're solid. They're not a soft side. They're not going to concede a lot of silly goals, and the fact they've only conceded 5-5 backs that up. Danny Furlong, as I mentioned, he was only back from injury last time out, so this is a game he'll be marking up to get back on track. Already 6 goals this season. I've got to go with a Galway win.
Sorry, Nigel, Galway win for me as well. Match we'll be going to on Saturday, Kieran, Longford at home to Cabinteely.
Yeah, this one just got a lot tastier with Cabinteely's result against Drogheda. They shocked everyone with that, and as I said earlier on the show, John, one or two wins for them now can turn it all around. Everyone, a lot of the pundits in this league were earmarking Cabinteely to have a real promotion push this season. We didn't agree with that. We certainly don't think they have the squad to do that, but with Marty Waters getting on the score sheet against Drogheda, he'd be looking to I suppose carry this Cabinteely side in all honesty. But the big blow last time out against Drogheda was the loss of Stephen McGuinness after just a couple of minutes. Remains to be seen whether he'll start against Longford, and with a young goalkeeper coming in, Longford got to fancy their chances here.
Yeah. Home win for me, Kieran.
Home win for me, John.
Shells take on Athlone is our final match in Division 1.
We probably wrote Athlone off too easily last week against Harps, but David O'Sullivan is the man who knows how to destroy Athlone defences. Was it 3 or 4 hat-tricks he got against them last season?
Who knows? I think it was 3. I think it could have been 4.
He scored 13 goals last season, and the majority of those came against Athlone. So, yeah, I think it was 3 hat-tricks, but... yeah, Shells win.
Shells win for me as well. Look, we save the best till last. We're going to move on to the Premier League fixtures, Kieran. And there's some mouth-watering fixtures here. We're going to start off with a massive battle on the top. Waterford against Cork.
Yeah, so as we said earlier on in the show, Waterford, if they can win this one, they really do show everyone they mean business. I haven't liked how pundits have been writing them off. They've been saying this Waterford team will eventually fall. Reminds me a lot of the Leicester City story.
Yeah.
That eventually everyone thought they'd tail away. Waterford have the finances in the July window to, you know, beef that squad up even more, as long as they don't lose players that have come in on loan deals. But I think that's unlikely given the links they have with English clubs. Cork have had a good season, John. Don't get me wrong. Obviously that defeat to Dundalk was the one blot on the copybook. Kieran Sadler in absolutely impeccable form, that performance against Bray. But Waterford are a lot better than Bray, and I expect them to get something from this one, and I'm even going to back them to get the win.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. That's a big prediction, Kieran. I'm going to go for a draw.
You sitting always sit on the fence, don't you?
Not always, Kieran. but in this case, I'm going to go for a draw. Waterford at home, yeah, they're looking good, but... you know, Cork are top of the league. They're champions for a reason, Kieran. I don't fully...
Waterford are champions too, John.
Yes.
First division champions.
Yes, slight difference, Kieran. But look, okay.
Oh, it's we'll heating up in differ. Here. I could do we one will... of them St. Mel's now. It's really heating up in here, isn't it?
We'll beg to differ on that one. That'll be the difference between me getting the St. Mel's and you being thirsty.
Long season ahead, John.
Yeah, right. Next match, Dundalk and their clean sheets against Shamrock Rovers.
Is this the one where it falls? Is this the one where the clean sheet record goes? It has to go sometime.
I don't think so. I think it's going to be 1-0. I think Rovers will set up negatively. I think they'll look to get a goal on the break, and it won't be enough against Dundalk.
Yeah, so I was at that game, as I mentioned earlier on, in Tala when they played early on in the season, and Rovers set up negatively in that one, and that was a home game. And Dundalk weren't in the form they were in now when they played that game. They were a very disjointed Dundalk's team at that stage of the season, with a lot of the new sides coming in. Just looking at Shamrock Rovers' away form, John, they've only one win so far this season, so... that certainly suggests they don't have what it takes to come down to Oriel Park against this rock-solid Dundalk side and get a victory. I can only see this going one way, and that's a home win for Dundalk.
Agreed. There's still the issue with the goalkeeping situation at Rovers. I'm not convinced.
Who does he pick this week, John?
Oh, well, I think he's throwing a coin.
Yeah.
Because neither have impressed me too much. Dundalk win for me, Kieran.
Chinchinski played in that win at Oriel for Rovers last season, so I wonder, will that just come into play for Stephen Bradley at all? Kevin Horgan, young goalkeeper, doesn't really have the experience of these games. It's going to be a very hostile atmosphere, as always, at Oriel Park.
Look, one thing's clear to me, he needs a new goalkeeper.
Yeah, so Bradley, I think that's the first thing he's got to address in July. Yeah, yeah, most yeah. definitely. But home win for me.
Yeah, and I agree, home win.
Kira, home win for you?
Yeah.
Of course.
No bias in that one.
No, not at all.
Saturday match, Kieran, is Sligo against Derry. Now, Derry very, very good at home, not so good away from home. Sligo struggling.
Yeah, this is a huge game for Sligo. They need to get this one if they want to show they're able to kick on and avoid a relegation dogfight like they were involved in last season. Derry, as you mentioned, three home wins on the bounce, but they come away from home now. They've only got one win away from home, just similarly to Shamrock Rovers. And they've conceded 10 away from home in just four games. So that is a worry for Kenny Shields. I think we've seen enough last time out against Pats. I know we feel Pats were extremely unlucky, but Derry played some really nice football. Aaron McInniff was the spearhead of that. And I think they have what it takes to get the victory here.
Away win for me as well, Kieran. Yeah. I'm not going to disagree with you with that one. Bows at home to Limerick, Kieran.
Two teams that really, really need a win. Limerick, we've mentioned they've tightened up that defence after that 8-0. I keep saying 8-1. I keep getting mixed up with the Drogheda game, but no, it was 8-0 that Dundalk beat them by. Mm-hmm. They've tightened it up anyway since then. Bows, they are inconsistent to say the least. I know I backed them this season to be right up there in the top five again, but I'm starting to get a little bit sweaty on that one, John. I'm starting to get a little bit worried.
You didn't take the bet, Kieran. You're all right. You're all right.
We're going to have to speak about it again, John. The Daily Mount form at home, not good enough in recent years for Bows, but of course they had that last gas win against Bray recently with Denny Corcoran getting the winner, so I'm sure Keith Long will be pointing to him in the dressing room to come out and inspire the troops again. I'm going to back Bows to get the win, but it's going to be tight.
I am as well, Kieran. They've been anything but convincing this season of Bows, but I think they'll have the edge over Limerick at the weekend there. So, yeah home win. Look, final match, and we'll come on to it, is Pats against Bray.
Yeah, Pats had a big win against 2-1 win against Bray earlier in the season, but should have been a lot more on the night, missed a lot of chances, similarly to that game in Derry on Friday night. Bray cannot defend, 22 goals conceded in just 8 games, and they cannot score 4 goals in 8, so the maths just doesn't add up there. Coming into this one, really looking in trouble, 6 points adrift of Sligo already. I can't see how they stay up, John, so naturally I can't see how they get a result in this one. Home win for me.
Home win for me as well, Kieran.
And before we go, folks, we'll bring you our interview now with St. Patrick's Athletic Assistant Manager, Ger O'Brien. So we're delighted to be joined once again on the Between the Stripes LOI podcast by St. Patrick's Athletic Assistant Manager, Ger O'Brien. Ger, you're very welcome to the show.
Cheers. How are you doing, lads?
So, Ger, your assessment so far at St. Pat's this season, a little bit inconsistent, but extremely unlucky last time out against Derry. I'm still scratching my head as to how the Saints didn't come out with 3 points in that one. Your thoughts on that game and the season so far, as I said?
Yeah, it's been a bit of a mixed bag, to be honest with you. Probably bar Waterford away, where we just didn't play well, we didn't turn up, and they fully deserved a win. We've been actually okay. The first game of the season, we started off really well and found ourselves 2 down after 20 minutes against Cork, and we got back to 2-2 when the other man sent off, and we came away from that with nothing. We conceded a really poor goal from our end, and it was just the head scratching on that night how we got nothing out of it. And then, you know, we've been a little bit where we've won a game, we've lost a game, we've won a game, we've drawn a game, we've lost a game. So it's just about getting a little bit of consistency into us. You know, you look at last week against Derry, we played really, really well. We probably dominated the game for probably bar the first 10 minutes when I thought Derry were okay. Other than that, I thought we were very good. And it's probably two mistakes that's cost us. And unfortunately, that's it. Like, especially with Kevin. And Kevin, like, you know, we encourage people to play, and that's what's going to happen. We're going to get caught like that. Rather than just building balls out of the defence, we like to play out. So it's cost us last week, but you know, we'll lick our wounds and we'll get on with it, and we'll try and bounce back against Bray on Friday.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the league table here, Ger, and St. Pat's, they've only conceded 9 goals this season from 8 games. It's far from a horrendous record. Obviously, you would like better than that, but does it just show the competitiveness of the Premier Division this season, especially with the 10 sides, that if you make a single mistake in these big games, you're going to be punished?
Yeah, I think that's what probably the thinking behind it was, that, you know, you're getting the games come around ticker fast, that nobody, well, there should have been nobody afloat. Obviously Bray and Forsey at the moment find themselves struggling a bit, but you know, they've still got quality players, and that's, I suppose, what the FAI is thinking was behind it, whether we agree with it or not. But yeah, we've conceded 9 goals. It's something that we've worked hard on. We conceded 3 of those in the first game of the season against Cork, and it's something that we spoke about after the game, and something that we spoke about in pre-season about being tighter at the back this year, not giving up silly goals and you know, coughing up, because last year we gave away absolute some comical goals at times, you know, from players that you probably, even experienced players that you wouldn't expect it. And it's something that when we came back in pre-season, we emphasised the fact that, you know, if you can cut out errors like that with the players that we have, like Conan and Christie, and we signed in some really good players like Steven Clark and James Downer, that we can definitely score and trouble teams the other end. But it's been okay so far. We would probably like more points on the board, but as you said, it's a really competitive league, and we've got to use the first round of fixtures. You know, we've one game still outstanding from the first, which is Sligo home. And if we take 3 points from that, it would be 13 points from the opening round, which wouldn't be too bad. But we certainly want to bounce back after last week against Bray on Friday.
Yeah, Joe, one man that impressed me towards the tail end of last season was Jordy Balk. And you've really, you know, we said about the tight defence this season, you've really adapted to life without him.
Yeah, and Jordy was one of the main reasons, along with, you know, our other signings in the summer last year, how we were able to, you know, retain our Premier Division status. Because, as I said previously, we were leaking goals left, right and centre. And, you know, we were working on it consistently. We were working on defending set pieces. And then you go out on Friday and, you know, someone would leave a back pass short, or, you know, someone's trying to clear one off the line, he's kicking into his own net. It was game after game, mistake after mistake. And when we got those boys in July, you really kind of shored up, and you could see the experience from Jordy and Killian and Owen Garvin and stuff like that. We were able to drag the younger players through. But, you know, unfortunately, you know, the defenders are hard to come by in this league. And when you look at Dundalk, I've had the likes of Brian Garton, and, you know, Sean Hoare obviously left to go to them, and Cork have had Alan Bennett and stuff like that, and Rovers have obviously paid money for Lee Grace. It's difficult to try and get, you know, top centre backs, being honest with you, and we were lucky that we've had one, Lee Desmond, and we've managed to get Kevin Toner on his return home, and we've added Mick Leahy as well, who's bringing in a good bit of experience, who just unfortunately hasn't found himself in the team because of the partnership that Lee and Kevin have created. So they're both two young players. I think it's 22 and 21. So they're no way, you know, experience behind that. And we've got to probably allow for stuff like that. What happens last week with Kevin, just, you know, that's it. It's encouraged to happen. And it's a learn on the job process when it comes to that.
Well, one of your defenders that certainly impressed me has been Simon Madden, and I've always liked him. And were you surprised that he was let go by Rovers?
Yeah, we were, to be honest with you. it was funny enough, I contacted Simon originally. He was away. We had heard rumours that he wasn't going to be retained. You know, League of Ireland circles are quite small, and, you know, rumours or information can get leaked out, and we had made contact with him, and he said he would definitely like to sit down and talk to Liam when he got back. So, but yeah, was a surprise, absolutely, because, you know, having been a right back myself, I know exactly what Simon can add to a team, and, you know, he's been doing that year on year for the likes of Derry and Dundalk and Rovers for the last number of years. So when he became available, it was a no-brainer for us to try and get him in. And as you said, you've been impressed with him. I think everyone's been impressed with him so far. He adds quite a bit to us attacking wise, and, you know, he's probably one of the other reasons why our defending has been a lot better this year as well.
Jerry, only 7 goals in 8 games. I think of the Pat side, I think of players like Christy Fagan, Conan Byrne, Owen Garvin, Killian Brennan. Why do you feel there's been a shortage of goals so far this season?
It's probably just trying to get a balance, to be honest with you, because, as I said, we've worked so hard on the other side of the game and making sure that, you know, especially from the Cork game when we conceded 3, and then, you know, we went and beat Bray the following week, and then we shipped 2 against Waterford. So all of a sudden it's 5 in 3 games, and we conceded 1 in Bray as well, which was an average of 2 a game. So if you put the maths on that, for 36 games you're conceding a hell of a lot of goals over the course of the season. So we needed to go back to the drawing board again, and we probably sacrificed a little bit of our attacking play, and you know, we managed to a nil-all draw against Dundalk at home, who they were much better in the second half and in the first half, and we were much better in the second half. But we restricted them to a couple of set pieces, and Rovers the same. And I know people might have looked at that and said that we were a little bit kind of negative, but we had a game plan. It just didn't work with us with the ball. Without the ball, it did. They didn't create anything, and it's an OG, unfortunately, has cost us on the night. But if we had been better with the ball, I've no doubt we could have troubled them on the break. And it's something that we're conscious of. We created, as you would have seen last Friday, we've been working a hell of a lot more on the final third over the last couple of weeks. And you know, it was probably evident from the amount of chances we got in against Derry, but unfortunately the finishing just wasn't right on the night. And on another night, you probably come away with, you know, without being disrespectful, a comfortable win up in the Brandywell.
So it's Bray Wanderers up next year. You've mentioned that the Bray have some big name players still in their side, and I was reading comments today from Gary McCabe, who said Bray are looking to hit the reset button in the next few weeks and really get their season going. Is it fair though, Pat's maybe looking to hit the turbo and kick on now in the next few weeks?
Yeah, we're into the second round of fixtures now, so you know, there's a hell of a lot of games. I think with some of the rescheduled games because of the weather, we're going to end up playing roughly around 14 games in 40 days, so between league and cup and stuff like that. So it's important that we find some form coming into this spell, to be honest with you, because you know, it's such a tough year, a tough season, as we've said already, with 10 teams, that you can find yourself adrift or playing catch up. And at the moment, we're kind of in a little bit in between. We're ahead of obviously the likes of Bray and stuff like that, and we're ahead of a couple of other teams who are not far off us on points, but we're also not far off those European places as well. So we're a little bit caught in between, so it's important that we get a little bit of momentum. We can string 3, 4, 5 results together, and all of a sudden you will see gaps appearing in the league, and we want to make sure that when those gaps appear, that we're in the right end of it, up challenging for a European place.
And finally, Ger, obviously you've stepped into the assistant manager role this season. How have you found it? And going forward, do you feel this is going to be a long-term kind of role for yourself, or are you maybe looking at going on and taking a head coach role in the next few years?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it, to be honest with you, because my role in the club is director of football, and especially with the underage team. So, you know, with the under-13s coming on board next year, it's 19s, 17s, 15s, and then I'll be 13. So I'm going to be quite busy on that as well. From a senior perspective, I have been around the first team last year, obviously, in the background. And with Darius stepping away with work reasons, you know, it's made my role a little bit more clearer now. And being able to get in and work with the lads, which has been great, because that's what you do. Your coaching badges, like, to be able to work at the highest level. And, you know, it's gone really well so far. As far as looking to the future, I'm not so sure. I'm at the stage where I don't know if I want to be a manager or stay as a coach just yet. I would like to go on and do my pro licence, which is the next step. And I suppose, you know, at 33, people would have looked that I would have stopped playing youngish, a little bit early, but I've still got a long way to go. I'm only starting out now on the coaching trail, so it's about getting experience and working with Liam. And you know, I think I have the qualities to add something to the group, and you know, the boys have been really responsive so far and enjoying it, so you know, long may that continue. But ultimately the most important thing is, you know, is the team and getting results on a Friday night. And you know, hopefully we can use the first, you know, 10 games so far to be a platform for the rest of the season.
Just one more question, Ger, I want to pick up on for your comments there. The fact that you're tired at the age of 33, and we've had a lot of guests on the show this season and in recent weeks that have made a step into management recently and ended their playing careers at what they would call an early age. I know we had Stephen Rice last week, and he was one that spoke about hanging up the boots at 31 to go into the coaching side of things. Do you think that's something we're going to see a lot more in the league in the coming years? And what do you put that down to mainly?
I think if you look, I'm not sure if I'm correct on this, but you know, I'd say the average age of our league is probably around 23, 24 now. Whereas when I was breaking into it, which seems a long, long time ago now, probably the guts of 15 years ago, I would have looked at the age being a lot higher. And I suppose the way things have gone, where the likes of Cork and Dundalk, Rovers, Sligo, ourselves, the past couple of years, even though we're back evenings now, we would have been characterised as full-time there's a lot more players coming back from the UK. It just seems to be a younger league. And for me, injury certainly played a part in my decision. But I always wanted to go out on my own terms. I didn't want it to be the case that people were kind of forcing me out or pushing me out. I wanted to be on my own terms. You know, you look at myself, Stephen Bradley, Stephen Rice, John Russell in Sligo this year. Obviously, Russ, I would have done me badges with him. We would have done the B and the A license together. He's obviously taking his four steps now recently. So I just think it's probably at a stage where we've got a lot of talented young coaches coming through, and the days are probably the jobs going round and around for certain managers is probably going to go now. And you look at the likes of Neil Fenn coming in, nobody probably would have pinpointed him to be the, you know, take over at Longford. And you can see how fresh, and you know, he's on social media and he interacts with the fans. And I just think it's probably what the league needs at this moment in time, because going hand in hand with the younger profile of the players, those younger managers is probably going to become more prevalent over the next couple of years. And you can see with Shamrock Rovers putting a lot of trust in Stephen Bradley, I can see that over the next few years more and more clubs are going to do the same with younger coaches, giving them a chance. And coincide that with the underage of proper academy systems having to be put in place and on the League of Ireland clubs, more and more jobs are going to be created for the likes of Stephen Rice and myself and Aidan Prices and Ian Morris and people like that who are now working in the underage setups around the country.
Well, Ger, I have to say, I think it's fantastic to see such decorated players as yourself staying within the league and within League of Ireland football. I think it can only be positive going forward, especially with the younger age groups that you mentioned that coming through in the next few years. So very best wishes with it. Thanks for joining us tonight, and we'll speak to you again soon.
No problem at all, lads. Appreciate it.
Cheers, Ger.
BetweenTheStripes.ie is sponsored by Diaga. Based in Buncrana, County Donegal, Diaga are world leaders in top-class logo and graphic design, website building, film production, illustration, and much more. For further information, please visit Diaga.ie.
Great to hear from Ger O'Brien there, folks. Kira, why were you making faces when Ger mentioned Neil Fenn?
Because he's probably going to leave and go to Athlone just like he left Dundalk.
Right. Can we edit that out, John? Or?
I think we can, yeah.
Look, folks, we're going to leave it on that note. Sorry, Neil, please come back on the show. Kira, do you want to tell the folks how to listen at home?
Thanks for listening to this week's show. Please subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast on iTunes, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and be sure to leave a review. And I've one last thing to say, and that's come on the town.
It's not Maxi's Taxi you're in now. Go on, away with you. John, thanks for joining me this week. Folks, thanks for listening, and we will speak to you again soon.
Subscribe to Between the Stripes LOI podcast now on iTunes, Audio Boom, Mixcloud, Pocket Cast or Podcast Republic, and never miss an episode. You can follow us on Twitter at Between Stripes or like us on Facebook and Instagram by searching Between the Stripes. Add us on Snapchat. Our username is BTS1924. While for all the latest League of Ireland news and updates, you can visit BetweenTheStripes.ie. Until next week, thanks for listening.